I want to start with a little story. Start on September 7th. And there's these high pressure zones building to the east and low pressure to the west, and these dry winds were picking up speed and picking up speed with even higher gusts. And at some point in the evening up the Mackenzie River, a power line went down and the sparks flew and they ignited a fire, which with this, if you've ever like had a burn pile and you've gone with a backpack blower and you've helped it along, that's basically what those high winds were doing. And that fire raged down the Mackenzie River for over 25 miles from Rainbow all the way to Leeburg. It destroyed Brood Liver. And around the Mackenzie River, it's like a big maple leaf with the Mackenzie River being a vein through it. Over 170,000 acres were burnt. We lived with it for like 10 days as the smoke just settled down on the Willamette Valley. There was ashes on our cars and in our yards, and I think we all experienced that something very devastating had happened. Now, I've been whitewater guiding on the Mackenzie River and rafting on it for over 20 years. This one of the key stretches I've done hundreds of times. I've rafted the entire 25 miles, and for me, that is my sanctuary. It's my home. It's a place that's really special, and I dreaded going back up there. It took 6 months before I got the courage to actually do it, and I took Kristen with me. And on a spring afternoon, we headed up Highway 126 all the way to Mackenzie Bridge. And along the way, we stopped. And it was so disorienting and confusing. Ben and Kay Doris used to be this stretch with these huge old-growth trees that almost touched across the road. It was like going through this forest tunnel, and now all those trees were gone. And instead of being this inviting stretch, it was almost like a cliff falling down into the river, and it's scary to drive there now for me. And I pulled over multiple times to view places that I'd been to and I loved and homes, and all I could do was weep. Soon thereafter, that summer, I started rafting season again, and someone, God bless them, whoever they are, planted groups of sunflowers about every quarter mile or so along the banks of the river, and somehow the sweetness of those flowers returning and along with some of the green, made it a lot easier when I was looking at these barren foundations and blackened trees. The destruction from the Holiday Farm fire in the fall of 2020 and its subsequent restoration is a really good metaphor for when relationships are devastated. And I can look at devastating events in my life, how the areas within me have been transformed and how I've healed from those events. And there's some areas of my soul that will never be the same. There's some spots where there's like wildflowers growing, like those sunflowers. And there's some spots that are still lush and green, like completely untouched. But then there's the flip side, where my actions were the spark, where the things I did created the fire that devastated the people I love's life. Even to admit it makes my stomach churn. And when I reflect on that, it's like the joy just gets sucked out of me. For me to forgive myself for what I did is far easier than forgiving the people. Excuse me. For me to forgive myself is actually far harder than forgiving the people that hurt me. But today, I don't want to focus on the pain that anger and rage caused in my life or the people I hurt. I want to use the fire as a metaphor for when you're the person who's hurt somebody else. And through the healing I did myself over 18 years ago and in the subsequent 15 years walking alongside others, I want to talk about, I want to focus on, how do you reestablish trust when you've broken a relationship? Specifically, how do we go about rebuilding trust when we are the betrayer of a brother or sister in Christ, whether it's a family member, a spouse, a close friend, or a coworker. And there's a couple things to keep in mind. One is forgiveness does not require trust. But without being forgiven, I can't rebuild trust. I can't demand forgiveness or even expect it. I can only ask for it and pray. Because forgiveness is unilateral. It's a one-way street. It's from the person that I have wronged, and it doesn't even require that they communicate with me. Its purpose is to release them from the bonds of unhealthy anger because of my offense, to set them free from bitterness, spite, rage, and revenge. And they do this by turning both me and my offense over to God for his righteous judgment. This is God's design to set them free so he can help them with their healing. And in the goal of rebuilding trust, all I can do is ask for it. And the reason I want to rebuild trust is it's my desire, and it's my hope that it's their desire that this relationship be reconciled. Now, reconciliation is bilateral. It's two-way. It's a relational interaction. And it's a commitment by both parties to work through the issues until the root causes of the problem have been identified and resolved. And to rebuild that relationship, you have to re-earn trust. Trust isn't given, it's earned. You have to acknowledge that the rebuilt relationship may be very different from the previous relationship and have new ways of being together. And also that it's God's desire that relationships be reconciled between believers. We have to be clear. There are some relationships, there are some instances that cannot be, nor should they be, reconciled. So I'm not talking about every situation. When we talked about the devastation on the McKinsey River, you may have had things in your life come to mind, and there are some breaches of trust, some betrayals that are so extreme that it's both unsafe and unwise to consider reconciliation. This could range from criminal actions to multiple forms of abuse, physical, sexual, emotional, spiritual, to breaking marriage vows, which includes and is not limited to affairs. If those are a situation you're in, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about today is broken relationships where love still wants to find common ground. Places where love, like those sunflowers, wants to grow again. Places where beauty and wonder may be hidden, but they aren't lost. So when you have hurt the ones or ones you love, how do you reestablish trust? What's your posture? Your understanding and the sacrifices you're going to have to make to allow God to transform your own character? What's some scripture that guides this process? What did Christ say? Jesus talked about how to rebuild or restore broken relationships in Matthew 18. And we usually think about this in the sense of, how do I go approach someone who sinned against me or somebody else? And that's scary. But in this case, we turn the tables. It's not how to correctly exhort someone. It's rather you are the one being confronted. Someone has come to you. And whether they do it well or whether they do it poorly, the message is clear. I hurt you. And what I did cannot continue. In Matthew 18, 15, 16, and I'm going to change the language a little bit of it. So you're seeing up there the actual language, but I'm going to put it in I language because I'm not the one being restored. I'm the one who created the problem. If I sin against you, tell me my fault between you and me alone. And if I listen to you, you've won back your brother. Now, there are small breaches in relationships. Maybe a broken expectation. I might not have even known that expectation existed. So sometimes it's just miscommunications or misunderstandings. And these aren't necessarily easy, but with a little bit of grace, we can heal it pretty quickly. And the reality is, I cannot have ill will or have intended to hurt you, but I can still take responsibility for hurting you, apologize. We can forgive each other and move on. But today I'm focusing on the larger breaches, where I've devastated the relationship, where I have betrayed the trust, and therefore I need to listen and I need to understand what it is I've done. Continuing with verse 16, but if I won't listen, or if I don't understand, bring one or two others with you, so that by the testimony of two or three witnesses, every fact may be established. Even if I've acknowledged that I've done something wrong, I don't always understand what it was I really did or the impact of what I've done. And witnesses and friends can take the person off the person who's hurt and help make the picture clear, help bring me understanding, and ideally help me and us walk out that repair and what that looks like. Sometimes it's more than friends. It's mothers and fathers in the church. All of us on staff, and many of you that are seated here, have walked along others as part, and been a part of these conversations. And today the focus is, how do you receive that? So what does it look like? Where do you start? How do you rebuild? I'm going to give you some practical ways, and again, this is based off of my experience over 18 years ago and the last 15 years of walking alongside and having the honor to walk alongside people who are trying to rebuild things. So one of the first things is I have to be in repentance, not remorse. And emotionally, when you're in them or you're watching somebody else in it, it can be really hard to tell the difference between the two. So I both want to define it and I want to explain what that looks like. And one of the things, if you're the person who's offended somebody, this is a great time to really start increasing your prayer life. Pray for understanding. Pray for the Holy Spirit to help. Pray for a way forward. Now, in remorse, my pain is tied to the fact that I got caught, or that I'm feeling vulnerable or defensive, or I've been caught in a way that I'm overwhelmed with shame. And it's a normal first response. We're finding ourselves in an emotional situation we don't like, and we do anything to get out of it. I'll promise to change even, but the question is, will that promise persist when the pain I'm feeling is gone? Do I stay in remorse, or can I move on to repentance? Yes, when I'm in remorse, I feel and experience my own pain. I may even have past trauma. I may feel like the victim. I feel devastated, and fire may have ravaged my soul. But in this moment, I need to understand and recognize I hurt someone else. I have to look at those actions differently from the pain I've experienced. Remorse is a natural response, but it's not enough. It's not enough to feel bad or be sorry. Feeling bad doesn't change us. Remorse does not change our character. Repentance does. You have to know you can't do this on your own. You've got to turn to your Creator. You've got to be praying for help. Your will is not enough. You need help both from God and from other people in your life. When you shift into repentance, you start to recognize the impact of what you've done. And your deepest desire is to never do that thing again. There's a humility in repentance. The pain I've been feeling shifts from being exposed or embarrassed or being defensive to being in agony over the pain I cause the people that I love. I desire to turn away from the behavior that created the problem and turn towards something that looks different. It's my will, not just my emotions, that I be transformed, that my character be transformed, that I'm not in the posture of being the victim, but I'm being in the posture of being responsible for somebody else's pain. Dear friends, please hear me. The pain of your past does not excuse or justify the pain you have caused. I want to say that again. The pain in your past, however real and deep that is, does not excuse or justify the pain you have caused others. I know this may sting, but please understand that Jesus is for you. He is the good shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes after the one. And you are also the one. And wherever two or three gather in his name, he is there. Don't do this alone. When you've blown it, messed up, destroyed your relationship or your work or connection to those who matter most, know he is there and he is for you. And because of him, we are there. We are for you. Even if it means confronting you with what you've really done, we are here and we are for you. Two, healing and trust require community. The person you hurt, or the person I hurt, should not be responsible for fixing me. They need time to survey their broken world. And they need time to get healing for themselves. They need to be supported, not supporting me. Knowing how to make a mess doesn't mean you know how to clean it up. So I need others to hear me, to help me, to guide me. I need others to pray with me, to pray for us. And I need the Holy Spirit to guide this whole thing. So you have to be open and submit to others on this journey so you can stay honest with yourself, on task with your healing. Go to counseling to help you discover the wounds of your past and heal those, because those may have created the problem in the first place. Be a part of what I call a confessional or accountability group, where you've got other people who are experiencing walking out their pain. They help you keep you honest with yourself. They keep me focused on the path that I'm walking out, and they give me people to lean on and to understand as I'm trying to walk out the separation I'm feeling. The bravest thing you can do when you realize how badly you've messed up, I know I can't fix this myself. I know I have to ask for help. And I need to ask from both God and other people. Because God's design for healing and restoration is to put trustworthy people around you and walk through the season with you. The truth be told, we need that all the time. And sometimes it's our isolation to begin with that's gotten us into this mess. Three, please understand that shame leads to self-sabotage. Guilt, as I would define it, is recognizing that I did something wrong. The Holy Spirit's conviction is knowing I have made a mistake and I can correct that thing. I can take actions to fix it. Shame is the problem is me. That it's tied in with my identity and who I am, and how can I change the core of who I am? Shame is the enemy's primary tool to keep us in destructive cycles. Some of you may know that I battled anger for years. When Kristen and I were married 21 years ago, one of the most powerful statements in my journey of healing was over 17 years ago in lunch with Ed Glaspie. "Mark," he said, "you're a good man. But you've got an anger problem that you have to fix." It was the first time I realized that the rage was not a part of my identity, but rather it was an enemy who was trying to destroy my future. It was an enemy I needed to overcome. Now, Christ has forgiven me. Can I forgive myself? Often when we're in that position, I know when I'm in that position, I don't feel worthy of forgiveness. But again, forgiveness isn't a feeling, it's a will, it's an action. I can't change what I've done, but with Christ's help, with the Holy Spirit, and with people around me, I can transform my character. He's the designer of it, and he knows who I'm designed to be, even if I'm not acting that way. God's desire is to restore me to healthy relationships. Do this out loud. What I'm saying is pray these and ask for forgiveness. Pray for God's intervention out loud and do it with other people. It's okay to beg God for his presence, because when we're overwhelmed with failure, comfort from God helps us stay in humility and it gives us hope. 4, become vulnerable, not just transparent. Christ's character is that his heart, the very center of his being, is both humble and gentle. And we're invited to be like Christ. I have the Holy Spirit within me to help me. Now, transparency is important. It's important for trust. It's important to be truthful with others. But vulnerability is needed for healing and humility. It's knowing your heart. It's knowing the truth about yourself. It's being willing to be rejected. I can give you an example from my personal life. For transparency, I can tell you about the time I put my head through the door. And it's uncomfortable, but it's about being truthful about the information of what happened. Vulnerability is me sharing the impact that moment had on my wife and my kids. It's seeing the look of betrayal in their eyes. And it tears at my heart. And it feels like I violated my role as a husband and father. Vulnerability and understanding understanding what my identity truly is as a son of God are the two key, are the two key stepping stones into humility. I can't be transformed without a deep connection with my Creator, and he does not bring shame. Have I mentioned? Pray. 5, it takes time. Have patience. And forbearance. I need to give time for my spouse, my family members, and friends the time they need. I can't pressure them for results. And I need to recognize that normal isn't good enough. That the people I hurt may be hypersensitive to behaviors of mine, and so I may have to act to a higher bar to provide them safety in the time they need to heal. Transformation takes time. I can change in about 3 months. Change is not the same as transformation. Transforming my character takes time, not only for me, but for the other people to witness. And it's like a 2 to 5 year process. It's not quick, and I can't hurry it. And if I stumble, I need others around me to help me out. And I need to pray for patience. I need to pray blessings over those I've hurt. I need to pray for their healing as well as my own. And pray for hope. You know, we can return to the Mackenzie River today. It's been 4 years on the river now, and it's changing. It's transforming. The undergrowth is thick. Green covers the slopes. And yes, if you know where to look, there's pencil sticks of black sticking up. But it's changed so much. So many of the houses have been rebuilt. And the wildlife, how it's been back for a while. Like the mergansers are one of my favorite birds. They're like penguins. They float on the water and they go under the water and swim around to catch fish and things. And seeing a mama merganser with a bunch of baby merganser just brings joy to my heart. There are some places that will never be the same. The whole landscape has changed. There's folds in housing locations I never saw before because the foliage used to be so thick and now the line of sight is so big. I guess what I'm saying is the river's different, but it's still really beautiful. About 30 years ago, I was trying to save my first marriage. I didn't have Christ to guide me. Shame dogged every step I took. 8 years later, I ended up feeling discarded, misunderstood, and a victim. I know I tried, but I don't know if I really changed that much. It's the pain of our divorces that brought Krista and I both to the Lord. And the hurts of my childhood and my first marriage stayed with me when I entered my marriage with Kristen over 21 years ago. I took a different path. And that's the one I've been sharing on. I'm a very different man today than I was 22 years ago. Kristen, our kids, and many of our close friends are witness to the result. So today I can say I'm more myself than I've ever been. And our marriage is better than I ever thought possible. So as we close, I want to invite Kristen up. She's the defender of my character and the love of my life.
I love you. As Mark shared today, I just want to stand here and just give a little bit perspective from the side of the person that's been hurt. And I'm so honored Mark and I have walked a lot of people through this journey, but as he said, it started with our own journey. And Mark, it was a long season, as he shared. It wasn't like, wow, one time of rage and that was it and it was rebuilding. It was many times. And though I forgave him every time, sometimes I could forgive him right away and sometimes it would take weeks and months because it affected our children so deeply. But I watched this man cry and say how sorry he was and repent and seek help again and again and go and fall in front of pastors and wise friends and say, I need help. He went to counseling. He went through restoration. And he continued to work on it. And I forgave him, and I didn't trust him for a long time. I could trust him in other areas, but there were times in our marriage that I literally thought about divorce. And then I decided, well, I don't believe in divorce, so I don't know if I could ever love him again, and I don't know if I could ever trust him. So my prayers didn't have a lot of hope in them. But we continued to step it out. There were several times throughout this journey that Mark had to quiet because of the counsel of our pastors quietly moved out for a while, just for the safety and security of our family. But he stuck with it, and he kept doing the hard things and kept talking and being vulnerable and not ever asking for me to trust him again, but watching him over the years. And I wish I could say months, but this one was big. But the man that I fell in love with and who I saw this man to be, who you know him today as, really had a battle of a stronghold of rage. And when he walked through the inner healing that he needed, and he battled that, and God completely freed him from this, then all of a sudden I saw this man begin to grow into all that God had him to be. I mean, He's a pastor. He walks along beside men. He's in, like, restoration is his heart. And it's just so amazing to see how the enemy saw this gifting in Mark and went after it to destroy him completely. And I can honestly say the reason I think I'm teary is when I was in that place of this going on, I really didn't have a lot of hope, but I had hope in God. But to see where he's come, honestly, I can say that our marriage is better than I could have ever imagined even before this issue. It took a lot of work, like a lot of work. It was hard. But our marriage is better than I could have ever imagined. He's my best friend. I completely trust him, not because I chose to, but because I watched him walk out, and he's earned my trust back. And so we have so much hope for whatever relationship is damaged, whatever is broken, and all of us have things in our lives that we can think of right now where relationships got really hurt and it's almost hopeless. But I agree with Mark, there's places where sunflowers are growing. And we want to encourage you to walk out the steps. It's not very often we hear about what do you do when you're the one that wronged somebody really bad. But we want to encourage you because God is a healer, God is a restorer, and Jesus makes all things new if we're willing to walk it out and submit to him and do the hard work. And I'm just really proud of you. Good job, honey. I want to pray for you together. I mean, we're going to pray for you, but I want to pray to close because we just want to stand here with a testimony saying we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. And we just want to speak that out to everybody in the room right now to just say there is hope. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, we are so grateful. Mark and I come to you so grateful to see what you have done in our marriage and that you've done in our family, even at Christmas, just rebuilding just how our kids are flourishing. And Lord, I just want to thank you for that. And God, we come to you today with so much hope because you are the one who makes all things new. And God, we just bring our whole church, each one before you, each marriage before you, each parent-child relationship that's broken, any broken, deep relationship, we come before you today and say, God, Jesus, you are the healer. We're asking for you to step in, to bring your spirit. God, we're asking you to regrow the wildflowers and bring hope to places of hopelessness. God, you are the one, Holy Spirit, you are the one that guides and directs, and we're asking you that by your presence, that you would lead each person and each relationship back through forgiveness and through reconciliation and trust. God, we're so grateful for you today, and we just ask a blessing over every relationship in this church. God, we desire as a church to be healthy, healthy people in you, Jesus. So we just welcome you in Jesus' name. Amen. We also, as we close, just really want to invite anybody who wants to come up for prayer. We welcome the prayer team to come forward, and we'd love to pray with you. It's a good time as we just got done being with family to come and pray about some places in relationships that we want to see healed by the Lord. Have a good day. God bless you.